Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 104 of the Grumpy Girlfriend podcast with me, your host and certified life coach, Katrin Berndt. The day has finally come. We are diving into the world of boundaries here on the podcast. Already ahead of time, I feel like I'm probably going to miss some stuff, but that's okay. At the end of the episode, I'll give you a little list of other episodes that I've made that complement this one well. And you're always free to message me and make specific episode requests. Because if you're struggling with it, other girlfriends are too. So, let's dive in. Let's get started. This topic is especially interesting for us grumpy girlfriends because what I have found through the years is that, one, we don't have a lot of boundary issues going on in the sense that we need to be setting more boundaries. And two, we are pretty good at, quote-unquote, standing up for ourselves and informing our partners what they are and aren't allowed to do. Which, you'll soon realize, isn't the same as setting boundaries, but it does show an ability to have those kinds of conversations. So today, I'm not going to focus so much on you need to say no, you need to stop people-pleasing, and all these other more classic ways of talking about boundaries. I'm going to focus on the things that grumpy girlfriends specifically tend to struggle with. So, what is it exactly that grumpy girlfriends struggle with in regards to boundaries? Well, I would boil it down to two main things. One, understanding what boundaries are and what they are not. And two, going from one extreme of blaming your partner and their behaviors for all of your negative emotions, all the way to the other extreme of taking responsibility for everything and not allowing yourself to have a problem with any of your partner's behaviors. It's all about understanding the difference between having a manual for someone and setting a boundary, how to reinforce a boundary properly, and finding the balance between being an emotional adult and taking responsibility for your own emotions, at the same time as you're not allowing your boundaries to be violated without consequences. And this is what we are going to talk about today. To start off, let's define what boundaries are. I want you to imagine that you live in a house with a yard. Your fence around the yard sets the parameters for your private space. These are your physical boundaries that if someone were to jump the fence or even come into your house without permission, they would be violating your boundaries and you would reinforce your boundaries by asking the person to leave or calling the police, or both. Your physical, emotional, and mental boundaries are the parameters that you have set up to keep yourself safe in a world where other people are always free to do whatever they want. Your boundaries do not dictate if another person gets to do something or not. They just kind of decide whether you are going to be on the receiving end of that behavior or not. If you do X, I will do Y. That is a boundary. It's information for yourself and for the other person about where you draw the line for yourself and what action you will take if that behavior occurs or continues. And your reinforcement of the boundary can either be leaving or ending the conversation or even the relationship immediately, or it might be making a request for them to stop, followed by leaving if they choose to continue their behavior. Boundaries don't tell the other person what to do, but they inform the other person what you will do in response to their behavior. And boundaries don't always have to be communicated ahead of time. Most boundaries are only discussed or brought up when they have been violated. And that is okay. You haven't done anything wrong if you realize after the fact that this was a boundary violation. That's perfectly fine. You don't have to go around and tell every person that you meet that if they punch you, you will leave and call the police. And you don't have to walk up to people who are smoking and inform them that you feel violated and you will be leaving. Sometimes you just reinforce your boundary in silence and move on with your life. And sometimes it is a conversation that you have with your partner where you make a request for a changed behavior and inform them of the actions that you will take in case it doesn't happen. The biggest difference here is, who is this person in your life? If it's a family member or a partner or a friend or someone that you either want to have in your life or that you kind of have to have in your life, maybe it's a colleague, then it is worth having a conversation about it and informing them of this. If it's a random person or a stranger, you can just get out of there. What is important to understand when it comes to boundaries is the difference between not liking something or having an unmet preference and being violated. Your partner not texting you back right away is not a violation of you. They are not coming into your house and violating you by not replying to your text or your phone call right away. They are out in the world doing their thing, living their life. You may not like it, but it's not a violation of you, and therefore it's not appropriate to set a boundary around it. And your partner not spontaneously vacuuming the home or doing the dishes on your timeline is not a violation of you either. Again, you might have a preference here that isn't being met, but that's a whole other conversation. When you do X, I feel Y, and therefore you need to stop doing X. That is not a boundary. That is having a manual for your partner and giving them and their behavior responsibility for your emotional life. Boundaries are never about controlling the other person or making sure that you always feel good. They are about controlling yourself in relation to the other person and their behavior. It's not about feeling good. So, what are some examples of actual violations in a relationship? Well, we all know about the most obvious ones. Mental or physical abuse, cheating, stealing, the regular stuff that most of us would consider us being violated. But other things like your partner raising their voice and screaming at you, that can also be a violation. Or if they swear at you or call you names during an argument. Or if your partner smokes around you, you might have a boundary that removes you from that situation. And you can also have boundaries around being in the car with a partner who suffers from road rage and drives irresponsibly. These are all situations where it would be appropriate for you to set a boundary to protect yourself if that is what you want to do. I, for example, will not continue an argument or a conversation with my partner if he raises his voice a lot or swears at me. But for others, that might just be a normal way of communicating. There's no one-size-fits-all here, so it's up to you to decide what you're willing to accept in your relationship and what you are not. Different things trigger our nervous systems, and I go straight into fight or flight when people raise their voice. Even if I'm watching a TV series or something and they start fighting, I cannot stand it. So that's a good boundary for me to set, just to make sure I'm protecting my nervous system and helping me have healthy conversations where I can show up as the person that I want to be. When it comes to the scale of cheating, it becomes a little tricky for a lot of grumpy girlfriends. Because the scale goes all the way from having a secret sexual relationship with someone else, all the way to having female friends or coworkers, or just interacting with women in real life or on social media. In these cases, it's absolutely appropriate to have boundaries around cheating within the relationship. Do the two of you agree on what cheating is? Where do you draw the line? Because a violation of your monogamous or polyamorous agreements is a violation of a boundary that you have agreed on together. But that doesn't mean that your partner having female friends is a violation of you or the relationship. This brings up the purpose of setting boundaries. Obviously, the main purpose of boundaries is to keep yourself safe and make sure that you take care of yourself. With your boundaries, you decide what you are willing to put your nervous system through and what you are not, what you're willing to accept and what you are not. But there's another handy feature of boundaries in relationships, especially when it comes to cheating and interacting with other women. And that is that if you have clear boundaries about what is okay and what isn't, you can stop obsessing over it and just trust that if a boundary is violated, well, you have a protocol for what to do. So much of grumpy girlfriends' anxiety and jealousy is rooted in what might happen or what this might lead to. So we tend to create problems in the relationship about something that might go wrong in the future, even though no boundaries have been crossed in the present moment. If you feel clear and confident and comfortable about your own boundaries, and you know that if you find out X information about this situation, well, then you will reinforce the boundary that you have set. And until then, you are very much allowed to just relax, not make it a problem, and assume the best. Like, if you have a nice fence around your home, you don't have to worry about the neighbors hanging around outside of your fence or people walking their dog outside your fence. You know that inside the fence is my space, outside the fence is everyone's space. But if we don't have a fence, if we don't know exactly where our space ends and everyone's space begins, we're constantly going to be monitoring who's walking where, are they too close, what if they take one step closer, is that a violation, is it not, I don't know. But if you have a fence, you're like, well, they're on the outside of the fence, it's pretty damn clear. The same goes for your relationship. Female friends is fine, female coworkers are fine, but once you cross this clear line, that moves into our relationship space, and that is not okay for me. The tricky part about this is that a lot of girlfriends try to set boundaries around their partner's thoughts and feelings. Like, if my partner develops feelings for this person, that is a boundary for me. But the question is, how the heck are you going to monitor your partner's thoughts and feelings? You can't. So you can't set a boundary around it. You have to set boundaries around what you can know, what you see and observe, what your partner tells you, things that you can actually verify. So if you have very vague boundaries around this and you think you'll be able to reinforce your boundary as soon as your partner catches feelings for someone else, you're going to be an anxious mess. It's kind of like not having a fence around your home and then being like, well, if someone plans to rob me and come into my house, that's a boundary for me. It's like, yeah, but you have no way of knowing if someone is planning that or not. If you find a detailed plan about someone breaking into your home, that could be a boundary violation, but you can't just set boundaries around what you think others might be thinking. That's not how it works. And this leads us to a very important thing that I want you to understand. So if you're multitasking right now, if you're focusing on other things, come back to me and hear me when I say this. You do not have to know about any specific boundary violation in your relationship in order to decide that this is not the partner for you. You do not need to call something a boundary violation to validate your dislike of it. Boundary violations are one category of things that happen in relationships, but there are other things that you might just not like, and that is enough for you to want to end the relationship if that is what you want to do. I think a lot of us are kind of led to believe that if it's not a boundary violation, then we should just be fine with it and not make it a problem. That's not necessarily true. You get to make anything a problem if you want to. If your partner travels without you 200 days of the year, that's not a violation of you. But that also doesn't mean that you have to love being in a relationship like that. And if your partner works in a job where they are in contact with a lot of girls on a regular basis, that's not a violation of you either. But it doesn't mean that you have to be happy about it and stay in a relationship like that. In order for all of this thought work and emotional processing and emotional adulthood and all of the work that we're doing, in order for it to be healthy and serve you, you always need to remember that you are free to end the relationship at any point for any reason. It is when you choose to stay in the relationship that you're going to have to do this work. You're going to have to understand what situations call for boundaries, where in your relationship that you have a manual for your partner and you need to do some work to manage your own emotions, where you want to choose to make something a problem and figure out how to solve it, and when you just want to learn to let things go and be happy. And this is where working with a coach and actually figuring this stuff out really does come in handy, because it can be tricky to do it on your own. The thing about boundaries is that none of this has to be done fueled by anger or frustration or resentment. This is an act of love and self-love. Your boundaries do not punish the other person for their behavior, and there's no need to use your boundaries as a weapon against your partner. You have to allow your partner to do whatever they want and not try to manipulate them into changing their behavior by threatening them with a consequence. If you cannot set boundaries from a place of love, well, you have some work to do, and that's okay. When you have clear boundaries for yourself, it's not a problem if the other person doesn't do what you ask them to. You just reinforce your boundary, and then you're good to go. If you feel resentful towards your partner for not respecting your boundaries, that's kind of a manual that you have for them that is making you feel shitty. Now, reinforcing your boundaries might not always feel amazing. Usually, it doesn't. Sometimes, depending on what your boundary consequence is, it might feel horrible to have to reinforce it. It might be the last thing you really want to do, but it's extremely important that you respect your own boundary, that you respect yourself, and do the thing that you are committed to doing if this boundary is violated. If you are not ready to follow through on your consequence, the thing that you are going to do when being violated, I recommend not setting the boundary until you are. There's no point in setting boundaries and not reinforcing them. That is just going to harm your relationship with yourself. So instead of doing that, work on getting to a place where you can actually reinforce that boundary if it is crossed. I also want to say that even though your boundaries aren't punishments of your partner or an act of violence back at them, It is sometimes uncomfortable to be on the receiving end of a boundary reinforcement, to be informed that you have done something wrong or that you have hurt the other person. This is not easy or comfortable for most human beings to deal with, and we all deal with that in different ways. Sometimes the initial reaction is to get defensive or upset about it. But just be aware that this is a normal, instinctual human response, and it doesn't mean that you have done anything wrong by reinforcing your boundary, and it also doesn't necessarily mean that your partner will feel the same way once the intense discomfort has died down a little. In episode 60 with Carolyn Ivers, we talked a lot about what to do when your partner is doing something wrong and when you need to reinforce your boundaries. Carolyn shared that in her experience, honoring your own boundaries and reinforcing them sometimes leads to the other person actually changing their behaviors over time, even if their initial reaction might be negative. If you are clear with what you accept and what you don't from a place of love, that can help the other person learn how to be in a relationship with you. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about having boundaries around your own behavior in your relationship, something that I think a lot of grumpy girlfriends need. So, boundaries are meant for you to protect yourself from the outside world and your partner's right to do whatever they want whenever they want. But sometimes, boundaries can also be used to protect the outside world and specifically your partner from you. If you have noticed that you have some unhealthy, toxic behaviors like emotionally punishing your partner, picking fights all the time, criticizing them, blaming them for things, and pointing out everything they do wrong, you might want to set some boundaries for yourself around that. For example, when I was going through my own journey, towards the end, I decided to stop drinking alcohol at parties that we went to together. Because it always ended in me treating my partner poorly because I was feeling jealous, and I caused an argument by doing that. Today, I have no problem drinking alcohol around other people or my partner, but before I had these tools and had developed these skills, I had to protect myself and my partner from the intoxicated version of my brain. Another example is when I'm really hungry. I know I struggle to control my grumpiness and my irritation when I'm hungry. So my boundary with myself is that, well, one, I try not to get to a point where I'm that hungry, especially not when I'm around my partner. And two, if I notice that I'm getting there, I limit my interactions with my partner as much as possible until I get something to eat, so I don't subject him to my hangriness for no reason. I also never look at my partner's phone or look over his shoulder when he's scrolling on Instagram because I want to protect myself from having to deal with my brain's thoughts about it, and I also don't want to risk punishing him for whatever my brain comes up with. So you can use boundaries to keep yourself safe and to keep your partner safe from you if you have identified unhealthy behaviors in yourself. This does not mean that you are responsible for your partner's physical, emotional, or mental safety. It's still their job, and they're the ones who need to set boundaries for themselves. But having boundaries surrounding your own behavior, it's a way for you to show up as the kind of partner that you want to be, whether your partner feels violated by your behavior or not. I know that this is a big topic to cover, and there are many different aspects that are worth talking about, but I feel like this has been a good introduction that covers a lot of the struggles that grumpy girlfriends have when it comes to boundaries. I'm sure we will return to this topic in the future, and if there's anything you want me to talk about specifically, you can always message me on Instagram or send me an email and let me know. Before we wrap things up, I want to give you some episode recommendations that will help you answer some of the questions that might pop up after listening to this episode. Episode 26. Four Couples. I Get to Do Whatever I Want. Explained. In this episode, I dive into how we can let each other do whatever we want in the relationship and still choose to do things for each other out of love. 32. Am I putting up with too much? If you are asking yourself this question in your relationship, you need to listen to this episode. I share my formula for figuring out if you are putting up with too much and what to do about it. Episode 47. Am I overreacting? If you are unsure if you're reacting appropriately to a situation in your relationship, then this episode is definitely for you. 55. When your partner's behavior goes against your values. This episode also touches on the concept of boundaries and how to use them without trying to control your partner. Episode 60. When your partner is doing something wrong, with Carolyn Ivers. This is an amazing episode that I really recommend that you listen to. Carolyn works with people who are in relationships where their partner suffers from addiction, so she knows a thing or two about boundaries. Episode 68, The Manual. Are you not sure if you have a manual for your partner or if you need to set a boundary? Check out this episode to see if it clears it up for you. And finally, episode 91, Wanting Something Versus Having a Manual for Someone. How can we make requests and have preferences without giving our partners responsibility for managing our emotions for us? So go ahead and check out these episodes. I will list all of them in the show notes so you can find them there. If you have any questions left after listening to these episodes, please let me know and I will address them in a future episode. I will see you back here next week for a new episode. And as always, if you are ready to finally enjoy your good relationship, I'm here to help. Go to katrinbernt.com to read more about my signature coaching program and how to get started. Bye-bye.